Welcome to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Hope you're doing well today, and thank all of you for bearing with me. I had a terrible, nasty cold, and it's going away, so I'm feeling a lot better, and I hope you didn't feel like you were catching a cold just listening to me, because it was really bad there for a while, but I'm back, and hope you're doing well. I appreciate hearing from so many of you. I've got some wonderful emails hearing about how you're doing, the struggles you're having, where you are, and there's been a common theme to those emails, those of you who've been writing to me, and I get a kick out of it because the last couple of weeks I've been getting a few emails in my box of people say, I'm just testing to see if you really do answer your email. And I write them back and I say, I really do. So just to remind you, send an email to chuckbentley@crown.org, and if I'm able, I will answer your email. I do love to hear from you. But one of the common themes I'm hearing is people are fearful of having the wheels come off. And what happens is they start to read some bad news. They start to hear some bad news around the office. They start to look at their circumstances. And then they begin to project out into the future just how bad it could be. And then what they end up with is this idea that even though it's not so bad right now, they end up with this idea that the wheels are going to completely come off and it's going to get really, really bad. But you know, the Bible is full of stories. It's full of history of how bad it can really get. And yet, all of those stories are filled with hope that God brings people through those difficult times. So let me give you an example. Can you imagine losing your job, having a very, very high position in a very powerful government role, and not only losing your job, but then becoming a fugitive with absolutely nothing and having to run from the very person who you used to work for? Now, I know some of you are facing layoffs, but you're probably not facing a layoff and becoming a fugitive the very next day by the people who used to employ you. But that's exactly what happened to David. David was hired to work in Saul's court, and David had great favor in the eyes of Saul and the eyes of Saul's family and the eyes of the people. But Saul rejected him, threw him out, and then pursued him in order to kill him. And David had to become incredibly resourceful to survive that. And today we're going to talk about biblical lessons of being resourceful when the wheels do come off. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Running a successful business in this very challenging economy takes more than hard work and a business degree. It takes time-proven principles of leadership, decision-making, and people skills, and a coach to help you navigate these uncharted waters. Business by the Book brings the brightest minds in history to bear on the most important issues facing your business today. Business by the Book provides a step-by-step outline from God's Word on topics such as hiring and firing, pay increases and promotions, management team selection, and much more. Authored by well-known financial expert Larry Burkett, Business by the Book offers a biblical worldview to businesses of all types. Whether you're a startup or an established firm, Business by the Book will coach you through important decisions and guide you each step of the way from God's Word. Business by the Book is available now at crown.org. That's crown.org. Log on, order your copy, and begin enjoying the satisfaction of running your business by the book today.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're going to talk about being resourceful. Because one of our greatest needs as we face the future and the uncertainty of a recession and all the things that are coming at us right now, and the uncertainty of how we're going to make it through the Christmas holidays and how we're going to make it into next year and what's going to happen and how long is it going to be and all that fear that's going on, I want to just look at reality. Because here's a recorded story in history of a person named David, who later became the king, who went through a difficult circumstance, and one that I would argue is far worse than anything you're probably facing. David was rejected by the king. He lost his job. He had absolutely nothing. And then he discovered through the report that Jonathan gave him that King Saul wanted to kill him. So David became a fugitive, and he had to run. He had to flee from all the comfort, all the security, everything he had ever had. and he left with nothing. So the wheels did come off. It did actually happen. And if you read in 1 Samuel 21, it's amazing how resourceful David became. The first place he went was to a place called Nob, and he went to the priest called Ahimelech. And it was so shocking for Ahimelech to see David in this position, to see a man who came from position and power, to standing before him without all the entourage, without all the normal trappings you would expect to see one who was in the king's court, that Ahimelech trembled. And the scripture tells us it was shocking to him. He saw David and said, "Why are you alone? Why is no one with you?" He knew something was wrong with that picture. David was standing there as a man with nothing. And it scared the priest. And David answered Ahimelech. He said, "The king charged me with a certain matter. And he said to me, 'No one is to know anything about your mission and your instructions. And as for my men, I've told them to meet me at a certain place.'" Now, David was being resourceful. You could say David was lying, but in fact, he was just simply expressing to the priest that he was on a mission that was secret, that no one else needed to know, and that he wasn't going to explain any more of the details to him. And then he just simply turned the conversation and asked a question that all of us need to ask when we are looking to be resourceful. He looked to the priest and he said, "What do you have on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread or whatever you can find." David just needed something to eat. But the priest answered David, "I don't have any ordinary bread on hand. However, there is some consecrated bread here, provided the men have kept themselves from women." And David replied, "Indeed, women have been kept from us, as usual, whenever I set out. And the men's things are holy, even on missions that are not holy. How much more so today?" So David was saying he had kept his heart pure, he'd kept his life clean, and there was no reason that he shouldn't receive this consecrated bread because he was a man after God's own heart. And so the priest gave him the consecrated bread. It said, "Since there was no bread there except the bread of the presence that had been removed from before the Lord and replaced by hot bread on the day it was taken away." Now, this was observed by one of Saul's men. And so it's going to make the matter worse because later Saul's going to figure out that David had been there and had been resourced through this priest. But here's an incredible part of the story. David knew that he was going to be pursued, and he knew something that he needed. And God knew exactly what he needed. He needed a weapon. He needed a form of protection. And I want you to pay close attention to what God did. So David asked Ahimelech the priest, "Don't you have a spear or a sword here?" That was something that he desperately needed. He needed something because he literally did not have anything to protect himself. One man against an entire army. And he said, "I haven't brought my sword or any other weapon because the king's business was so urgent." And absolutely it was. He had to get out of the way of the king's business. And listen what the priest said. The priest replied, "The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, is here. And it's wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. And if you want it, you take it. There is no sword here but that one." And David replied, "There is none like it. Give it to me." Do you remember when David first saw that sword? He was the young man who went out into the valley and slayed Goliath with the stone. And then he took Goliath's sword. Now, remember how tall Goliath was? Goliath was a giant. The scripture said he was nearly 10 feet tall. He would have made our largest players in the NBA look small. He would have reached the top of the goal. Imagine a man that tall. How big is this sword? How incredibly noticeable is that sword? You know, it had to be one of those moments when David looked up to the heavens and said, "Oh, my Lord, look what you provided for me. Goliath's sword." There couldn't have been anything more encouraging for David to see than that sword that reminded him of God's faithfulness in battle. It reminded him of God's protection of him when he had no armor the first time he faced a giant in his life. And God took that sword, I believe symbolically, to say, "David, I'm here to provide everything that you need exactly when you need it. I haven't forgotten you. And even though you're on the run, and even though there's an enemy pursuing you, I still love you. You take that sword and you carry it now for my purposes to be fulfilled. Do you catch the correlation here? God's been faithful to you in your life no matter what you've faced in the past. And He's going to be faithful to you in the future. He's going to be faithful to you no matter what you're facing today, and you do not have to fear at what moment in time God's going to provide for you, because He remembers your needs. He knows exactly what you have to have. He knows exactly when you have to have it, and He wants you to be willing to look to Him to provide the resources that you're going to need. Now, I want to get very, very practical about this lesson. And I want to ask you to be resourceful in three key areas of your life. I want to walk you through the next part of this program, an inventory of what you have now and how to be resourceful with that. And then I want to walk you through what you may need in the future and how to be resourceful with that. And then I want you to make a list of people whom you've been called to serve, and how you can be resourceful in serving those people. Because I believe one of our greatest fears is not what's going to happen to us during a recession, but what's going to happen to those who are dependent upon us. How are we going to meet the needs of all of those around us? I just got an email from a person extremely worried that they're not going to be able to provide Christmas for their children, because their finances are so tight. And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to provide help and hope and insight from God's Word. Stay with us. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
You know, the Bible says to train up your children in the way they should go, and that includes teaching them God's way of managing money. But how do you make learning the basics about money easy for kids ages 3 and up? Try the ABCs of Money Package from Crown Financial Ministries. The ABCs of Money Package has two interactive ways for children to learn what the Bible says about money. First, there's the ABC Learning Bank. It has three detachable compartments made in the shape of the letters A, B, and C. Your kids will use one for giving, one for saving, and one for spending. The package also comes with the ABCs of Handling Money God's Way student workbook. Through an interesting study, simple Bible studies, and fun, hands-on activities, your kids will learn not only about money, but also some important things about God. Invest in the future of your children by teaching them God's way of managing money with the ABCs of Money Package. It's available at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're talking about how you can be resourceful. So many people are writing us, asking us for answers, and one of the greatest answers that comes from the Scripture is to learn how to be resourceful. Learn how to identify what you already have, what you're going to need in the future, what people who are depending on you are going to need, and turn to the living God and ask Him for help. Now, here's the first thing I want you to do. Make a list of what you have right now. Literally make a list. Because in your darkest moment, when you think you have absolutely nothing, you're probably going to discover that you have much more than you realize that you have. Now remember, David was on the run. He fled with nothing. A soldier never leaves without his weapon. David didn't even have a sword or a spear. He didn't even have bread to eat. So make a list of what you do have, and then make a determination that you're going to be a great steward of what God has already given you, and then be thankful for whatever is on that list. Be thankful that God has given you something to use to provide for your needs. I remember when I was in college. In fact, I was in college in the 70s. And we were given $1,000 for a wedding gift. And I put that into a certificate of deposit. And I remember it was earning 8.5%. And I left it there for 1 year. And at the end of 1 year, we had earned about $85. And I remember thinking, $85? wow, that's almost, I mean, that's like nothing. And it was sitting there a whole year. So I asked God for an idea of what I could do to make some more money for our family while we were finishing up school. And God gave me an idea to buy a car. And I only had $1,085, and I bought a Volkswagen out of the newspaper. And right after I bought that Volkswagen, gas rationing was put into place. And there started to be long lines at gas stations just to get your weekly ration of gasoline. Well, you can imagine how incredibly easy it was to turn around and sell that Volkswagen for a profit. And I sold my first car in college and made $750 profit out of that original $1,000. Now, that was a lot better than that $85 it had made in 1 year. Now I had $1,750, and I bought another car and put it in the paper and sold it. And I bought another one and another one. And it ended up, I took that $1,000 and figured out a way to make enough money to help provide our needs with just an idea from God. So first step is to make a list of what you already have, be grateful for it, and then ask God for ideas about how to better use it. The second lesson of being resourceful is make a list of what you're going to need in the future. Make a list of what you think you're absolutely going to need, not want, but what are you going to need, and then give those things a priority. And determine the number one thing that you believe that you need God to provide for you. In David's case, the first thing was he needed something to eat, and the second thing is he needed a weapon. And God provided those two things. Now, some of you may say that at the top of your list is something as simple as a job. Many people are looking for places to work. I had a friend who needed a job. He was between jobs. And instead of going out and interviewing, he made a list of 25 people he knew, and he called them and asked them if he could sit down with them and ask them for their advice on what he should do for his next career, what ideas or input they might have that would help him to define where he should go and where he should apply himself. And he went through all 25 of those appointments, simply said, here's my situation, here's my gifts, what do you see, what would you recommend, what would you do if you were me? Well, you know the rest of the story. You can imagine that he had a very good job, many offers at the end of that exercise, because he had taken a step and he had done something with what he had. You know what he had? He had a network of friends that he could go and talk to. And it was through that network that provided his next move, his next career. In fact, he started a business based on the idea that one man gave him. Now, make a list of what you're going to need. And ask God what you already have that you can use to be a better steward of. And ask God to give you the ideas of how to be resourceful, to see your future need met so that you can stop worrying about it and being fearful of it. Now, here's another way to be resourceful with whatever it is you're going to need in the future. I had a friend who realized that he needed more income. And so he went for advice to a godly friend, and he said, how many days a week are you working now? And he said, five. He said, well, the Bible says to work six. For extra income, you work another day somewhere else on that sixth day of the week. And he said, well, I won't have a weekend. He said, well, God never promised you a weekend. He said, work 6 days and rest one. So this man said, well, okay, where do you suggest I go? And he said, just go somewhere where you'd like to get hired and tell them you'll volunteer to work on Saturdays until they, and so you can at least be out doing something. And that's exactly how God provided for this man's need. It was a complete fulfillment of what he was looking for in terms of his additional income. It was a very simple idea. Work one more day per week. Get rid of the idea that you have to have a two-day weekend. Now, the third area where many of you are asking questions about how to be resourceful is in the area of those that you're called to serve. Many of you are married, so you've got a husband to serve, you've got a wife to serve, you've got children, you've got people at work. And you want to be responsible for helping to provide those needs and to meet their needs. And, you know, probably the most inadequate I've ever felt in my life was when I was fearful of providing for my own family. And when that happens, I would go through the exact same exercise. I would make a list of those people that God's called you to take care of. And I would make a list of their needs. And I would put priorities around those needs, and I would understand those needs. And then I would begin to pray about it and talk to God about how you can meet their needs. And I want to tell you a story when we come back of how God answered a prayer in my own life of how to be resourceful for those that I've been called to serve and take care of. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
Are you over 50 and thinking about retirement? Well, if you want to actually experience retirement one day, you have to plan for it. And we have a book that'll tell you how. It's Your Money After the Big 5-0, written by Crown Financial Ministries co-founder Larry Burkett and financial planner Ron Blue. Your Money After the Big 5-0 will equip you with biblical wisdom and practical advice for succeeding in the second half of life, having a fully funded retirement, and being free to serve the Lord. And you'll learn about the importance of finishing strong and leaving a legacy of stewardship to your children and grandchildren. If you're ready to put together a financial plan for a retirement that'll honor God and give you wealth at last, get a copy of Your Money After the Big 5-0 right now at crown.org. Your Money After the Big 5-0 by Larry Burkett and Ron Blue is available online at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're talking about how to be resourceful and some biblical lessons of learning to be resourceful in key areas of our life. We've talked about making a list of the things that God's already given you and how to steward the things that you do have and to be thankful for those. We've talked about making a priority list of what resources you're going to need in the future and seeking God's advice and godly counsel about how to meet those needs and how to be resourceful at meeting those needs in the future. And then we talked about how to meet the needs of those that are depending on you. And that oftentimes is our greatest fear. So when I was faced with this, I did something that I'm recommending that you do. I found out that our son had a need that I personally could not meet. Our oldest son wanted advanced level music instruction. He particularly wanted to learn to play the classical guitar. In fact, a 12-string classical guitar, to be exact. And there are not many people around that do that, and they're very, very expensive and difficult to afford. But it was something that he really wanted to do and something I really wanted to provide for him. And so all I knew to do was to take it to the Lord. And I remember praying specifically, Lord, my son wants to learn to play a guitar. We don't know how we're going to do it. We don't have the money. It's difficult to even find somebody with capable of teaching him this skill. And while we were praying about that, we had reached out to an older couple across the street from where we lived. He had had knee surgery, and we took some food over to their home and helped them move some things around. And they said, oh, by the way, our son has decided to buy the house two doors down, and he will be moving into the neighborhood to help us now that I've had this knee surgery, and I want you to meet him. So in a few days, their son moved in, their son and his wife, and we went over to meet them. And we noticed he was unloading a lot of guitars into his house. And as it would turn out, he was a world-class touring professional classical guitar performer. And he volunteered to teach our son how to play classical guitar, and he moved two doors away from us. And he was one of the finest instructors our son could have ever had. And God answered that prayer. It was almost like David must have felt when God handed him that sword of Goliath. And he said, you ask me, and look at what I can do. I can move him right across the street. You don't even have to drive. You know, I want you to refer to the prayer that David wrote in Psalm 34. And this was after he had been delivered from one of his very difficult times and had no resources to rely on. In fact, he was so afraid that he acted insane in order to escape from an evil king. And he wrote in Psalm 34, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. And I would recommend, when you're most fearful, boast in the Lord. And he will deliver you the resources that you need. Well, you've been listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. I hope you've been encouraged today.